Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, kings don't run. They stride. Kings don't just throw something on. They're robed. Kings don't just grab a bite to eat. They dine in courts. Kings are expected to be men of dignity and decorum, of regal behavior and composure. Therefore, kings certainly don't leap. But in our Old Testament reading today, a king engages in some decidedly not so regal behavior. King David is seen leaping. He's leaping because he's overjoyed. One of his wives, Michal, thinks that this is repulsively undignified, utterly unkingly. Others may also be shocked at King David's behavior. But in this moment, he doesn't care. He is overjoyed that at last the Ark of the Covenant is coming to Jerusalem. God is entering his city. You have heard how the Ark of the Covenant was the set-apart place for God's presence on earth. A special gold-covered, seraph-decorated box on top of which sat the mercy seat. David had attempted to bring the ark to Jerusalem 3 months before, but when Uzzah was struck down for touching the ark, David was afraid and left the ark with a man named Obed-Edom. Now, however, hearing that Obed-Edom had been blessed by God because of the ark, David is again willing to try to bring that ark into Jerusalem. As part of the procession, David changed into a priestly garment. He sacrificed animals before the ark. And he entered into Jerusalem, dancing and leaping for joy before God's presence. David's wife may not have found his behavior very fitting for a king. But God did. In fact, God struck David's wife with barrenness for the rest of her life because of the way that she scorned David's joy and rejected God's precious gift. Rejoice is the word that echoes through the church this week. We remember from this past Sunday that this is the week where we light the pink candle on the Advent wreath. And again today, we hear the words of St. Paul when he encourages the church, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice." What is the reason for this perpetual rejoicing according to the Apostle Paul? He says, we rejoice because the Lord is at hand. And truly, for his church on earth, that is cause for rejoicing. We don't have to go up to heaven to search for the Lord and bring him down to us. No, we are a church that confesses that the Lord comes to us. The Lord comes near to us. And this news ought to cause our hearts, as they did for King David, to leap in rejoicing. But oftentimes, we fail to rejoice. Often our hearts are numb or cold to Jesus' call, to God's presence with us. We are no King David. Because of that, we often hear the verb stir up in the collects of Advent. We pray that God would stir up our hearts because they do not respond rightly to his coming. Instead of exploding and leaping in joy, our hearts are heavy with longings and desires that have nothing to do with the Lord, nothing to do with the gifts that God gives. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, for our hearts are heavy with discontent. We have sunk the roots of our lives into the bitter waters of jealousy, and we have borne rotten fruit instead of the fruit of the Spirit. We rejoice in things like retirement or the big game or items on a bucket list. But the drawing near of the Lord? Well, maybe we'll have more time next year for that, when things settle down a little. Our lips may acknowledge him, but our hearts are all too often far from him. Unlike King David, we care more for how we appear to others than how we appear to the Lord. God knows this about us, and yet still he desires to be with us. He is still interested in us. In fact, he is so interested in us that again, he draws near to a whole world of people with sin-heavy hearts and gives us all every reason to rejoice. Unborn John the Baptist understood the joy that the Lord Almighty gives by sending Jesus in human flesh among us. Unborn, he was able to recognize this. When pregnant Mary visited pregnant Elizabeth, the unborn John leapt upon hearing the voice of the woman carrying the world's Savior. Something even more wonderful than the Ark of the Covenant had come. How much more reason then for John to leap like King David before him? Mary carried in her womb none other than God's very presence in human flesh, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God was drawing near not just to Jerusalem, but to the whole world, forever. Jesus was like us, and yet was fully divine. His holy, sinless presence in Mary's womb made her something special. It made her the new and better bearer of God's presence. She was God's new Ark of the Covenant. She bore the new and greater mercy seat, the Christ, inside her very flesh. Friends, though we may and do often turn away from God, he still turned toward us in Jesus' incarnation. He became incarnate so that he could be stripped and humiliated for our offenses and die on a cross to atone for our indifference toward him. Though it may not look like it at first glance, the most joyous sight we could ever see is the promised Son of David drawing near to Jerusalem to die for our sins. His joy in doing his Father's will was like King David's joy. But Jesus' joy in willingly going to the cross meant our acquittal and our resurrection to eternal life with him. The child who came forth from Mary's womb would also come forth one day from a tomb in triumph over sin and death, to reign on the throne of his father David forever. Soon, the well-known Christmas hymn will ask the question in our churches once again, what child is this? The answer is enough to make our hearts leap like the unborn John the Baptist leapt. What child is this? It is the same God who drew near to King David and who made him leap. It is the same God who drew near to John the Baptist and made him leap. This child is the world's joy bringer. He is indeed joy in the flesh, the sinner's delight. He is pure cheer for the heavy-hearted and the oppressed. He is the one whose second coming we so eagerly long for in the church today. Until then, we rejoice that still he draws near to us. In his word and sacraments, he comes to us again. He comes so near that the forgiveness he gives through the word of his gospel goes right down into your hearts and stirs them up, revives them, refreshes them. He comes so near that the word that made John leap takes residence in your heart, and you can't help but leap with gladness overflowing in love to others. He comes so near that his Holy Spirit fills your body and your heart and indeed makes you a new creation. He will one day draw near from his eternal throne one final time, and we will be near to him in the flesh forever. So once again this week, my friends, I urge you, rejoice. Rejoice like David and John the Baptist before you. For your Lord, your joy bringer, is at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.